We're still studying Passover and what happened on Passover when it says, and you shall say, a feast of Passover. So we've studied a bunch of them. The last one we looked at was the fall of Jericho. Now we're going to look at, it says, Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. The fat folk of Pul and Mud were burnt up in a blaze of the fire on Passover. So let's look at first being the Midianites were destroyed by a barley cake. Let's look at Judges 7. And I'm not going to go into the details, but Deborah and Barak, where Deborah was one of the female prophets in Israel, and her associate Barak, they delivered Israel out of the hands of Moab. And then chapter 5 is the song of Deborah and Barak, which was sung by the Levites, or then chapter 6 is 40 years later. They had peace for 40 years, one of the cycles. And now, the Amalekites, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Midianites and the Amalekites oppressed them, and they took their food and took their wine. And Israel, a lot of the men of Israel hid in caves, dens of the rock, it says. And they made periodic raids against the Midianites. But then Gideon gets the call. And so starting Judges 6, verse 8. It says, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and then the Lord sent a prophet unto them, unto the children of Israel, which said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I have delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. Now this next few verses are critical in this understanding of what God wants. He's hiding in a vineyard by the wine press, threshing the wheat that the Midianites, the Amalekites, haven't raided and stolen from them. And then in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, no, in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And the mighty man of valor was hiding out, deathly afraid of the Midianites, hiding. Anyway. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Now what was his might?
He's willing to complain right there to God.
No, his might was his weakness. Go in this thy might. It hasn't changed. And yet, what one thing that man hates is weakness. Remember the despised word in Egypt, now at the time of Christ, and all the territories, was typanos, which means humility or weakness, if you will. And we are no different. We hate weakness.
I'm just seeing in that that's what idolatry is about, is gaining strength. You worship an idol that will give you power and strength and supplies or whatever builds you up instead of produce humility.
I want you to imagine in the entire land at the time of Daniel, it went from the river of Egypt all the way to parts of India, and they built an idol. And all of the hundreds of thousands or millions of people that were in this kingdom, every single one of them, except three, worshiped the idol. Remember, the idol was named Bel, and it was a 60 cubit high edifice, 6 cubits wide. Couldn't stand. It was gilded with gold, but it was really made out of bronze. And it was structurally unsound. It couldn't stand. 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. And so the story is, that's where all of the artifacts of the temple in Jerusalem were used to build the base for that temple. Now, every time, I like that word sackbut, but it's every time that sounded, all of the people in that kingdom bowed to that idol. And that's the idol of Babylon. That's why the name of that idol in our culture is cause and effect. Because if you think you know how to do something, then what happens? Then there's no faith. Now this hurts your brain if you think about it. Because we automatically have all our lives lived by cause and effect. We were taught it from the beginning of our ability to have a thought. So every worship just means give breath to. Every single person on the face of the earth gives breath to cause and effect. They worship it. They use it daily in their business. Every one of those people fell down and worshiped except three. That's an amazing thing. Can't have on the Babylonian garment. And if you have on the Babylonian garment, what you do outwardly is meaningless from God's standpoint, because it's the wrong garment. It's no longer the rightness only of Jesus Christ. It's Babylonian garment, cause and effects, which works in limited time frame. You give every excuse in the universe to use cause and effect. You justify it. Just like every one of those people did in Babylon. The weakness of those three young men was manifest. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do cause and effect. And here, Gideon was put in a position where he couldn't do anything except hide. And here comes this idiotic angel and says to him, "Thou mighty man of valor, you think maybe some of us might be approaching this whole mystery of God and from the wrong position?" All the Christians in that land say, "Well, I'm doing this for Christ." What's the sack? The sack, but the sound is just a perceived need, a perceived duty. Got to fall down and worship that idol. Anybody see this?
It's like that's safety. You do that and you're okay. Nobody messes with you. You're not kicking against the brakes. You're just...
Right, and you've gone the opposite from the will of God.
Stand up like those guys did. It was like they were risking their lives.
Same thing happens now.
Yeah. Only, I have a question. How would you see the world today if Christians truly were Christians truly that died to self? Truly died to self, picked up the cross and lived a life of repentance and abandonment. How would the world, be? Where would we be?
There'd be no poverty, because the church would sell all their buildings and give to the poor. 40% of the church's budget would go to meet the poor in their cities. They would be a sign and a wonder to the rest of the world. But now you can't tell the Christians from the Gentiles. This year when we dip the parsley into the salt, and we dip it into the salt water, I want you to think about something. Part of the meaning of that salt water in ancient times was the tears for the people that were suffering. Now, it's our tears, I pray, for the state of the church, a state of mind-bending apostasy. This little woman that came the other night, the big group, I was sitting over in my normal sitting place on the front porch, and she came over and said, you're in pain. I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm going to pray for you. I said, well, okay. And she started praying, and it was the same. It was like Benny Hinn was there praying. Pain is not of the Lord. This is from the evil one. I couldn't even. It's just so opposite of what the mystery of God is. It's not even. They're not even in the same ball game. They're playing Chinese baseball. Remember what Chinese baseball is? And this really happened in the early 40s and late in the 30s and 40s. The missionaries were all over China, and they one of the groups sent baseball gear, and they had all the uniforms and the bats and the balls and the bases and the pitcher and the first baseman, the second baseman, third baseman, the outfielders and the batters. But they mistranslated one part of it. So like when the ball was hit and it wasn't caught, then the batter would take off to first base, but the first baseman would pick up the base and run with it, and they had to catch him. And so
he stole the base.
This is Chinese baseball, is modern Christianity. Well, I don't have the right to say that. Well, I do, and it's in here. If I didn't say it, I'd die. So anyway, back to Gideon. In verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him after he was talking about how weak he was and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made a kid and unleavened cakes or barley matzah of an ephah of the flour. The flesh he put in a basket, or the food he put in a basket, and brought it, the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom, it should be. Unto this day it is yet in Orpha. Of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock and the second bullock of the 7 years old and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath and cut down the grove that is by it and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon this rock, top of this rock, and in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him, that he will plead for him, that he not be put to death while it is yet morning? If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and they went over and were gathered and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him, and sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And so it was. For he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, that but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, their people are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. And there returned the people, 22,000, and others remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of the whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the waters, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Excuse me. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go before unto this place. So the people took food in their hand and their trumpets, and set all the rest of Israel unto man, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. They went down with Purah, his servant, outside, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for it put into his hand. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the rest. And so, the dream of the barley cake was a dream by one of the Midianites, and it caused this intense terror in the Midianites. And so with 300, he destroyed probably 100,000 men and started killing each other. And this came to pass on Passover. And the barley cake, remember, whenever you see anything about barley, it's the Passover season, because barley is always the provender, what's that word? The food for the poor and the cattle and the beasts. Every time it's wheat, which is the grain of the rich and powerful, what the point of it is, Jesus was the type of the barley and the bride is the type of the wheat for Pentecost. So Jesus, always in his humility, takes the lowest seat, just as he does in you. You must empty. Whenever there's an issue that's confronting you, no matter how small or no matter how great, instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding, you empty and put it in the hand of God. Amen?
Amen.
And it came to pass, or you shall say a feast of Passover. So hopefully when we do this in group by group, we'll have a better understanding of what they say. Any response? Go in this thy strength and your weak little.
I'm saying we're always told to wait and end up waiting. Time frame is where we're really tried, because you're waiting when something needs to be done. You know, you need to take action to solve the problem. But if you're waiting, you don't do that, and it builds up pressure. And you really think you better get something going. And it's a real dynamic internal time that you resist.
My prayer then is for everyone, that Babylon be thrown out, the world system be thrown out. You live by faith alone.
When you started reading this thing, and you got right before the part where it goes, this time Mike, what he had said back to him, you know, the Lord is forsaken the land. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. And I still think that, the Mike may certainly, you know, obviously is weakness, but I still think that one of the biggest problems of the leaven of the Sadducees is you're not willing to say that to God. If you're actually willing to tell God he's left the earth, then at least, you know, I don't know, something about being willing to not hide the fact that you're a Sadducee.
That's why we have the burning of the lamp.
Yeah. Anyway, that to me, that was strong. If he's willing to tell God to his face, you've forsaken us.
That's what Jesus cried on the cross.
Yeah.
But that's the point. That's the point of the burning of the lamp.
Yeah.
In every Jewish home all over the world, what they did, the Passover was yesterday, but what they did the 24 hours or many times before then, as they go through their house, removing any bread that had anything that had yeast in it physically. And they missed the point, which is revealed in the New Testament that the yeast is in here. Yeah. It's a leaven of hypocrisy, which is the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of not believing in the power of God to meet a need, and the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of Herod is seeing lack. So they're all intertwined. But just for purposes, we say we can separate them. But, so to make it, to clarify.
And not just that they missed the point, but they've made a game out of it. So they've risen above it. Now it's the father's supposed to hide 10 pieces of leaven around the house and take the children with a feather and figure it all out. And that's just that they made a joke out of something that was important.
Well, again, remember, the other hallmark of a Pharisee is that he literalizes the parable. Mr. Bojo, any response? Mr. Mike? You agree with everything? All right, take it, big guy.